at the Bridge Church VA online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoy this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Whatever the case may be, this series is something that I want to encourage us to come to in the next few weeks. But for these next 2 weeks, including today, we're going to be looking at this one-word series. And today's word is simple. Grow. Tell the person beside you, grow. Grow. That's it. Grow. I know that title doesn't seem very appealing and doesn't seem very creative and, you know, it seems a little boring. But what it represents is something that God wants for all of us. He wants us all to grow. So we're going to look at a passage of scripture that I think will capture this theme and capture what Jesus desires for our life, which is for us to grow, in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. And here's what it says, and we got it for you on the screen as well. It says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. Verse 11, Jesus explains the parable. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. And those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy and when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Today's message is simple. Grow. Grow. And I believe that this message is relevant for all of us in here because I legitimately believe that all of us want to grow in some capacity in our lives. You want to grow in your relationships. You want to grow in your health. You want to grow in your finances. You want to grow when it comes to your relationship with God. You want to grow with better habits. All of us in here want to grow in some capacity. Matter of fact, just by a show of hands, how many of you guys want to grow? Let's just be real. Y'all want to grow today. And so the thing that we're going to talk about is how that happens and what that looks like. But the thing that I want us to understand about growth is growth and change are kind of two separate things. One person would say it like this. Change is inevitable, but growth is optional. So in other words, you can't control everything changing around you. Like you have no control over that. Apple comes out with a new phone every week. You can't stop that at all, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you love Galaxy, right? Every year there's going to be a new football season, a new basketball season. You can't stop that. There are certain things in this world you cannot stop. They're inevitable. Things are going to change. Like some of us don't like change at all. Like you hate the idea of change when it comes to certain things. But there's other things that you do like to change. But nonetheless, that's not what this is about. It's not about change, it's about growth. Growth is something that you and I can control. Therefore, growth is optional. Growth has everything to do with how you and I approach a situation in life. Growth has everything to do with what you and I put into certain situations in life. And the thing that I want you to understand about what God's desire is that you and I would grow. That we would not stay in the same place, spiritually in particular, that we've been for the longest time, but that we would continue to grow and progress in life. So in other words, God's desire is that you would be at a different place spiritually this time next year than you are right now. And if we could be honest, we haven't necessarily grown the way that we should have grown, right? Like there's things that come into our lives that we allow to prohibit our growth. But the thing that you got to understand is that God calls every person in here to grow. God has a desire that we would grow. Here's what 1 Timothy chapter 4 says: for physical training is of some value. There is nothing wrong with working out. Nothing wrong with working out. When your waistline starts to grow the wrong way, you got to work out so it begins to grow the right way, y'all. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's what Paul is saying. Physical training is of some value. But check this out. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. So in other words, Paul is saying here, it's okay for you to grow physically, but that has a very limited impact on the totality of your life. What I really want you to focus on is growing in godliness or growing spiritually, because when you grow spiritually, that impacts every aspect of your life. Some of you guys remember me sharing a story from how like God really started to transform my body and how I started to kind of, you know, get in better shape and all this type of stuff. And I wasn't like in the worst of shape, but I kind of knew that I was at a place physically where I needed to grow. And it all started last year, 2016, when we had our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And it was during that time where God was calling me to a deeper place spiritually, because oftentimes what happens in the physical is really a reflection of what's happening in the spiritual. And so God was saying, hey, I want you to go to a deeper level in me. I want you to begin to sacrifice some things. I want you to be really intentional during this fasting season. And so just to be honest with you guys and to be transparent, for that 21-day period from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., I only drank liquids, straight liquid fast. I only had one meal a day, and that was dinner time for 21 days, right? And it was grueling in the first week. Matter of fact, I felt like dying the first 3 days. But I noticed the physical change that started to take place as a result of the spiritual change that had already taken place. That within a week, I had already lost like 3 pounds. And 2 weeks later, I had lost like 5 pounds. And matter of fact, after the 21 days of prayer and fasting was done, I was like, man, you know, I'm gonna kind of keep this thing going. And so from January of 2016 to like August of 2016, I had dropped like a total of 20 pounds. But you know how it all started? Spiritually. It started from a spiritual place. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, in order for you to like grow physically, that you got to do spiritual things. There's people that don't grow spiritually at all and are in the best shape known to man. But everything that happens spiritually impacts every other aspect of your life. And that is what God desires for all of us. Matter of fact, here's what 2 Peter 3 and 18 says. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, you'll see that on the growth track sign when you go outside, because that's what it's all about. Notice that Peter says, but grow in the grace. What is Peter saying and helping us understand? You control your growth. That's why he's telling you, grow in the grace and knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have a hand in our growth. You are responsible for the growth in your life. And many of us know that we need to grow. Like, I think all of us in here probably know we need to grow, but the problem is we're not growing. And for some of us, we just don't know how to grow. So how do I start? Where do I start? Some of us don't know what it takes to grow. Or some of us know what it does take to grow, but we choose not to do it. And so we stay stuck. And so this parable that Jesus gives here in Luke chapter 8, it gives us some insight into how we are to grow. And here's the good news today. If you're tired of being where you are spiritually, if you're tired of where you are right now in your life, if you're tired of where your marriage is, if you're tired of where your health is physically or emotionally or psychologically, there is good news. And the good news is this: you can grow past that. That's the good news. You can grow past that by doing what Jesus is suggesting that we do through this parable that he tells here. And just to kind of give us some context into what Jesus is saying here in this parable. This parable, and any of you guys who don't know what a parable is simply a story that Jesus would oftentimes tell in order to communicate some type of a spiritual truth. Jesus would always tell parables, and in the parable there was always a spiritual principle. But he communicates these different responses in this parable that people have towards his ministry and towards his preaching. He's ultimately talking about how this parable has everything to do with a person's response to God's word, to the gospel, to the good news of Christ, and how they take it in or how they reject it. But more importantly, he gets to what's beneath and behind the reason why people respond the way they do. He gets, for lack of better words, to the heart of a matter, to the heart of the matter. And what Jesus talks about here, this principle is twofold. Number one, it's for those who have yet to come to Christ. This parable has much to do with what it is that leads or does not lead to a person coming to faith in Jesus Christ. But this parable also has principles that as believers, as followers of Jesus, if you are one, that you can apply to your life to ensure and to help you to continue to actually grow. Because God's plan for you was not that you would just get saved and all of a sudden just stop growing and it's like, I can't wait till I get to heaven. No. Like, God says, I want to bring heaven to earth in your life. I want to see you grow. Like, I want to see your family get better. I want to see your health get better. I want to see the relationship that you have with your children get better. I want to see your hope grow. I want to see your faith grow. I want to see your joy grow. That's what this parable is all about. And through this parable, we learn about experiencing growth that God desires for a person, whether it's entering into a relationship with God through faith in Christ or growing in their relationship with God in Christ. I've known so many people who've been saved for years and have been at the same place spiritually that they were when they first gave their life to Christ. That is not God's desire. Let me kind of make it in 2017 language. That's not a good look. Like, it's not a good look. Matter of fact, we would say that there's a defect there. For instance, if I were to take my child to the doctor and my child is not growing, the doctor would have some serious concerns there. Because the child should be growing. The child shouldn't be 15 years old and still at the same weight or at the same height that they were when they first came out the womb. That's a problem, right? And so oftentimes what happens with us spiritually is things we allow to come into our lives, they short-circuit our growth. And so that's how you can be following Jesus for years and still not grow and just be stuck. Here's a few things worth noting just so that way we get context to this parable. Notice what Jesus says here. He says a farmer was planting seed. What does the farmer represent in this parable? The farmer represents Jesus. Represents God the Father sowing seed. What does the seed represent? The seed represents the word of God. It represents the gospel. What is that for us? It's God's written word. These 66 books in this book. God's written word. Also, the things that God is speaking to you that line up with his word. That is God's word. That is the seed. Here's what Hebrews 4:12 says. We don't have it on the screen, but it says this, for the word of God is alive and active. Do you not know that a seed has life in it? A seed is alive. I am blown away when I think about how seeds give way to the trees that we see outside. Something so small like a mustard seed can lead to oak trees. That is mind-boggling to me that all that life is in something so small. It's a representative of the Word of God. That this thing right here that sometimes you and I just treat as trivial, sometimes that you and I just treat as nothing or as having no value at all, has all that we need to become who God has called us to become. God's word is alive and active. It also says sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Here's what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture. Old Testament, New Testament is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and there's that word again, training in righteousness. Remember what Paul said? For physical training is of some value, but godliness or spiritual training holds value for all things so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The seed in this parable is representative of the word of God, which is what Jesus says later on in this parable. And then you have the soil. So there's three things that you got here. You have the sower, you have the seed, and you have the soil. I didn't even plan that. I wasn't even in my notes. That's some good alliteration right there. That's good preaching. The seed, word of God. The sower, God himself. The soil, what's the soil represent? Us, our hearts, our lives. And as we know the context of the parable and know these few different characters of this parable, we begin to learn some things about growth. Here's what we learn. Number one, we learn what hinders our growth based upon what Jesus says here. Notice what he says in verse 5, and then we'll jump down to verse 12 to see the explanation. He says, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't just stop the parable right there, because we would all be in the dark. What does that mean, Jesus? He explains it in verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. What hinders our growth based upon what Jesus says here and what we're also getting ready to explore? You know what hinders your growth? The condition of your heart. The condition of your heart. That's what hinders your growth. And Jesus begins to prove that to us here in verse 5 and also in verse 12. He says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. What did Jesus equate this to? This is the person known as the hardened person, or the one with the hardened heart. Notice in verse 5, Jesus says, the seed fell along the path. One of the things that you got to understand about the path and roads in the first century Jewish context is those paths were very hard. They were dry. There was no seed that can really take root in this type of soil. What is Jesus talking about? This is the heart that hears God's word, but flat out rejects it or ignores it. This is the hardened heart. The seed that can't take root on hard ground. And what happens is the enemy snuffs it out. And I love that Jesus says the birds come. And then he explains that the birds represent how Satan comes in and takes out the word. I saw this illustration happen in my life this week, which was actually the motivation behind this message. Because recently this week, we had to get some work done in our yard. We had like gas people, they came and they were like, hey, sir, you guys have a leak. And I'm like, what leak? Talking about. So we had to come dig up your yard. Like, dig up who yard? I love how y'all just come in here unannounced that we got to dig up your yard. What is wrong with y'all? Nonetheless, that's my venting session right there. It's my little soapbox. And so he was like, Mr. Jones, we're going to have to come dig it up. But what we'll do is we'll take care of all the landscaping. We'll put the dirt back down, and we'll plant new seed up there and put new seed so that way your grass goes back stronger than ever. Okay, cool. As long as y'all fix it. Because if y'all don't fix it, it's going to be some furniture moving up in here. Right? And so, but you guys know that all throughout the course of the week, it was very hot. There wasn't a whole lot of rain until about Friday. This happened on Monday. So I go out after they're all done, seed all over the place. I was like, man, it's some long seeds, man. It's going to be really cool once this grass comes in. And we were sitting at the dinner table. Ariel was like, yeah, but the problem is it's not going to rain. And so because it's not going to rain, the ground is going to be dry, which means birds are going to come and eat up the seed. I was like, oh, my gosh, I just got revelation. One, I need to go out here and water this ground right quick. And what was funny was we went into the kitchen on our window where the area that was dug up, we can actually see where the seed was, and lo and behold, there was already a bird out there eating up seed. I'm like, dude, you about to be dinner tonight if you keep on eating up my seed. Go up there, water the grass, water that area that was dug up because the ground was extremely hard. Water it so that way seed can now begin to penetrate and get beneath the soil. What is Jesus trying to help us understand? If your heart is hard, you will not be able to receive what God is speaking to you. And what happens is the enemy will come in and snuff out this good seed, being the word of God, from being able to take root on and in your life, because it's just sitting on the surface. Even for you, if you're a follower of Christ, all of us can represent these different type of soils in some capacity, because for some of us in here, your heart is hard when it comes to some of the things that God is speaking to you. Hard. Go forgive that person. No, I'm not. Hard in heart. Go love that person. No, I'm not. Hard in heart. And so because God has given you a word and your heart is not right, it does not take root, which means it does not lead to a harvest. So your relationship still sucks. The tension is still existing because your heart is hard towards it. There's no growth because of the condition in the soil of your heart. Is this making sense? Yes, no, is this making sense? I think it is making sense because y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all just convicted, I guess. Maybe we got some hardened hearts. Jesus says here, the hardened heart does not receive the perfect seed representing the word of God. But then he doesn't stop there. Notice what he says in verse 13. Okay, let's go to verse 6. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. What does Jesus mean by this? Go to verse 13. He says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. What is Jesus saying here? He says, rocky ground. Rocky ground in that context was ground that had a little bit of soil on the surface of a rock in particular. But the problem was it was just on the surface. You see what Jesus is saying here? At best, you have a superficial faith. It's shallow. In other words, there was a lot of emotion with it. That's why he says that they received it with joy. So on the surface, it's like, I'm super excited about the word of God. I'm super excited about Jesus. But when tough times come, I back away. And by the way, these first three examples, Jesus is helping us understand these are people who think they are believers, but in fact are not really true believers. And then he explains the fourth type of heart to show us the fourth person who truly is a believer, which I'll get into in a moment. But even for those of us as believers, man, some of us, we like the idea of what God says, but when tough times come, we stray away. We back away. And Jesus is saying here, these are people with all style and no substance. A lot of style, no substance. And God forbid that we be people who got a lot of style, but no substance. What does that look like for those of us who are believers? Man, you got all the scriptures memorized. You walk around with your Bible in your hand. You come to work. Praise the Lord. Jesus is awesome. Hey, brother, do you know that he's awesome? You know he'll provide. And then your boss comes, gives you the pink slip, and you drop it F-bombs like crazy. Jesus is like, that word, it didn't take root. It didn't take root. And so what happens is it gets exposed for what it really is. That's what happens. But notice he doesn't stop there. He goes into the next verse. Look at what he says earlier in verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And then he says, and he explains it in verse 14. He says this. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. What is Jesus talking about here? This represents what I call the crowded heart. Because what happens is, in this crowded heart, these thorns, which are represented by life's worries and concerns and pleasures, which ultimately symbolize the distractions of life, we allow them to come in and to distract us from allowing the word of God to take root in our lives. And this actually was the closest one to producing some bit of a crop, which is why he says here, they do not mature. So there was some growth, but not growth to the point that it would yield a harvest. That's what Jesus is saying here. That you and I can be so crowded by all the distractions right now in our life. God says, trust me. Believe that I'll provide. Okay, God, I believe you provide. But then something comes up and now you're worried about it. Now you're frantic about it. Well, that means you didn't allow the word of God to take root in your heart. The condition of your heart. So what it does is it exposes the condition of your heart, right? Like if I'm always stressing out about this and stressing out about that, what it's really showing is the condition of my heart. It either shows that my heart is hard, shallow, or crowded. Matter of fact, even when Jesus says here pleasures, in the original language, this translates to sensual pleasures, which can almost even be communicated as more sexual or physical things. So things that satisfy my flesh, those can be distractions from being and receiving what God has for me. All these are the types of soil that can be represented in our hearts and lives that keep us from growth. That's what Jesus is saying here. The three things that all these things had in common, there was no growth. No growth at all. And the question I'm going to ask us today, do you see yourself in one of these three right now? Are there certain areas in your life? And I was already prepared not to get a lot of amens and not a lot of hand claps and stuff like that this morning. I was already ready for that. I knew it was going to be that type of sermon, because whenever we start talking about growth, that doesn't have anything to do with how God is just going to bless you without you having to do anything on your part. It's not popular. It's like saying, hey, you want to lose weight, you want to get in shape, you want to build up some muscle. Well, that means you're going to have to drink a lot of protein. You're going to have to do 10 million reps. It don't sound good no more. There ain't going to be a lot of amens. You're going to hate the physical trainer, but it's good for you. But where do you see yourself in this spectrum? Are you hard in some areas? Are you shallow in some areas? Are you and I crowded in some areas? And all this leads to the last example that Jesus gives, which helps us to see, because we've already learned what hinders our growth, but this last one that he uses helps us to see what leads to our growth. That's the second point. What is it that leads to our growth, Pastor Edwin? The same thing that hindered your growth, the condition of your heart. Isn't it interesting that the same thing that stops you and I from growing is the same thing that can propel us to greater growth, the condition of our heart? So notice what Jesus says in verse 8, going back up there. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. He explains it in verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. What type of heart is this? This is what I like to call the fertile heart or the fruitful heart. Notice when Jesus says a good heart, he's not talking about a perfect heart. He's talking about a moldable heart, a ready heart, a fruitful heart, a fertile heart. Y'all remember the example that I shared earlier about how the soil was hard and no seed can get through? But the ground that is ready, the ground that was soft. I was talking to my dad yesterday. He was like, hey, man, have you tilled your garden yet? We got a garden in the backyard. Well, Ariel has a garden in the backyard. Not me. I'm not a gardening person. And he was like, man, this is the perfect time to do it. He said, because the ground is good. The ground is good. So it's the perfect time to get to work. The question I'm going to ask us is this. Is your heart good ground? Is it good ground? Is it in this place where it's ready to receive what God has for it? Because a fertile heart, here's a few things about it. The fertile heart receives God's word by faith. Remember, God's word represents the seed. And a fertile heart is one that is ready to receive it by faith. So when Jesus says good heart, he says hear the word. This is a heart that hears the word. It's a heart that retains the word. How does it retain it? Because it's good soil. It doesn't stay on the surface. It gets beneath the surface so that now it begins to take roots beneath the surface. God is more concerned about what happens beneath the surface than what happens above the surface and on the surface. Because if what's beneath the surface is right, then it's just a matter of time before what's on the surface catches up. So this is why you can't always go based upon what you see. Which is why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Which is also why the Apostle Paul says one plants the seed, another waters, but God brings the increase. And even when you hear that scripture in 1 Corinthians 3, I never realized this. Why would Paul say to the church of Corinth, you guys are arguing about who's the greater apostle, who's this, who's that. He says, hey, Paul is nothing. Apollos is nothing. God is everything. So Paul, one may plant the seed, the other may water the seed, but God brings the increase. So who was the soil? The church. The believers. He says, y'all are so worried about who planting and watering. Y'all need to be worried about, are you good ground for the planting and the watering to yield a harvest? And so often we get caught up with what we see rather than focusing on what's beneath the surface. How is your heart? A fertile heart is not only willing and ready to receive God's word, but it actually allows God's word to penetrate on the inside of us. And here's where this gets practical, because for many of us in here, we've been trying to figure out, why am I not growing? Why am I not seeing any fruit in my life? And it has everything to do with the condition of your heart. What do you do with God's word when it comes into your life? Do you just reject it? Do you hear it, but let it go in one ear and out the other? I can preach the best sermon known to man, but if you don't allow it to take root in your heart, it will yield no harvest. So even me preaching on rest last week, hearing that sermon on rest, it means nothing for you if you don't allow it to take root. It means nothing if you don't do what's next, which is what the fertile heart does, which is respond to God's word with obedience. Notice what Jesus says here. It not only retains it and hears it, but it perseveres in it, which means it's pressing with it. It's going along with it. It's actually putting it into action. A fertile heart is one not that just receives God's word, but does God's word. Acts on God's word. Here's what James chapter 1 says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. It is not just enough for you to come in here and hear God's word. It is not for you and I enough just to read God's word. Notice what he says in the next verse. Do what it says. Then he says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, and meaning the word of God that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, notice what James says here, they will be blessed in what they do. The blessing is not in you coming to church service on Sunday and hearing this word. The blessing is in you receiving it into your heart, believing it, that is, and actually doing it. That is where growth happens. When your heart is saying, Jesus, my heart is ready to receive whatever it is that you want to say because I'm going to receive it by faith. Romans 10 and 17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. I'm not only going to hear it and receive it by faith, but I'm actually going to do it. It's not about how much scripture you memorize, y'all. I know plenty of people who know scripture with the best of them, but do not love anybody. I know plenty of people who can recite cover to cover, who can talk about all these deep doctrines of the scripture, but have no deepness to their life because they don't apply what they've heard. And Jesus says, it's not enough just to hear it. You got to receive it and believe it. And it's not enough just to believe it. You got to actually perform it. You got to do it. You got to carry it out. This is why Paul says in Philippians 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So in other words, God has worked in me his word. I am called now to work out his word. Now, I know for some of us that word work out is scary. It's like, I don't got nothing to do with no gym. I'm talking spiritually, y'all. Work out your salvation. Work out the word of God. God gives us clear things that you and I should be doing. Love him. That's his word. That's the seed that he's planted. Love people. That's his word. That's the seed that he's planted. Forgive people. Forgive that person. That's the seed that he's planted. Be generous. Serve. All these things that God is speaking to us. He speaks to us about serving. Many of us in here, God has been speaking to you about serving, whether it's in kids, whether it's on a worship team, whether it's on an outreach team, whether it's in Growth Track, whether it's leading a small group. But you and I, or some of us in here, we've been so hard to that. And yet we wonder why there's no harvest in our life. And God is saying, man, if you would just become good ground and let me mold your heart into good ground and then receive my word by faith and respond to it, you would see a harvest. God has been speaking to some of us in here about taking the next step and starting Growth Track and becoming a part of the church. And you've been hearing this message over and over because we say it every week. And it's mind-boggling how we can all hear something every week but not move on it. Hardened heart. God's been speaking to us on these things. He's been speaking to you about sharing your Christ with that neighbor, man. You've heard me say it every week almost. And yet we haven't still done it. Is there something wrong with the seed, the word of God? No. Is there something wrong with the soil? God himself? Not at all. There's something wrong with the soil. That's you. That's me. There's something wrong with our hearts. Let me kind of tell us this. You want to know the biggest hindrance to your growth? You. How do I know this is true? What is the main thing that stops people from getting in the gym and working out and becoming in the best and getting in the best shape possible? You know who it is? You know what it is? Ourselves. It's ourselves. It's not our work schedule, because you make time for what's important to you. Right? Seriously. It's not finances. You will find money to use on things that you love to do. You will borrow money from people to do the things that you want to do. We are the ones that get in the way. It's us. And God is saying today, would you become good ground for my word to take root in your life so that way you can begin to see some growth. And until you respond to his word with obedience, your life will not grow. Some of us in here, man, God has been calling you to leave a job. God has been calling you to leave that relationship. But for so long, you continue to put it off and put it off and put it off, and you're frustrated because you don't see a harvest in your life. You're frustrated because your life is not producing the crop that Jesus talked about here. Instead, it's producing crap. And you're trying to figure out, why is this happening? Why is this happening? He says, because you're not allowing my word to take root in your life, and you're not operating with my word. You're fighting against it. And today God is saying, but that can change. I want to see you grow. And everybody's hands went up when I asked if you want to grow. But maybe I should have asked that question after we said all this, because maybe the hands wouldn't have went up. God is saying today, man, I want to see you grow. I want to see you thrive. I want to see you become who I've created and called you to be. Some of us are hard soil when it comes to some things, and we're fruitful and fertile soil when it comes to other things. God's desire is that our entire life would be good ground for his word, that his word takes root in our lives. In every scenario here, the seed was the same. The seed didn't change, y'all. It was the soil. It was the soil. That was the issue. The seed is good. God's word is good. What God is speaking to you and I, lining up with his word, is good. The question we got to ask is the soil of our hearts good? What kind of heart do we have? What's the condition of our heart? What happens with God's word in my life once I hear it? What do you do when you read God's word? I would hope every day we spend time in God's word. That's good. That's a good starting point, but it's not just enough just to read it. But what happens when we read it? Do we allow it to take root in us? Do we allow it to convict us of our sin? Do we allow it to cause us to turn away from all the things that God is calling us to do? Every person in here, you will hear and have heard the same word preached today. The same word. But I'm willing to bet $100, $1 million that I don't have, that some of us, after hearing this word, hearing how we can have a hardened heart, a shallow heart, a crowded heart, or having a fertile heart, still will walk out of this building today and still do what we want to do. And if anything, what that shows is exactly what Jesus is saying here. But today, it can be different. You can make up your mind that today, I want my heart to be good ground. I want his word to take root in me. And my concern for us is that we hear God's word every week, that we read our Bibles on a regular basis. But my concern is, do we believe it and act on it? Do we believe it and act on it? Do you want to know the dream that I have as the pastor of this church? It's not even to see this church blow up and be big. I want that to happen. I believe that will happen. But you know what is most important to my heart? Is seeing our church not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Because I believe that the world has heard enough. I believe that people in this world are waiting for the church to start backing up their words with their deeds. I believe that people in our community don't want to hear no more about how Jesus loves them. They want to see that Jesus loves them. And the way they see that Jesus loves them is by the people who've received the love of Jesus demonstrating the love of Jesus to them. That's what people are ready to see. You can clap there. It's okay to say amen right there. That's what people want, y'all. And the only way that happens is by our hearts being fertile, by being tender, by being sensitive. Here's what Paul says in Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly. Why? So that you can teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. In verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do you know? You notice what Paul says here? It's the same thing that Jesus says here. It's just in different words. Let the word of Christ dwell in your hearts. That's the good heart, letting it take root in your heart. So that you may teach one another and admonish one another. In other words, so that you can perform it, so that you can give glory to God in whatever you do, whether in word or deed. Do you see the outgrowth here? It's my heart. It's my heart. So the question I want to ask us today is, once again, how is your heart? Is it hard? Is it crowded? Is it shallow? Or is it fruitful? Do you reject God's word for various reasons? And some of us in here, you're going to reject what I'm saying. You're probably rejecting it right now. So there he go again, talking about that mess, what I need to be doing. It just shows how hard our hearts are. I believe if our hearts are tender and our heart is primed and fertile to receive and respond to God's word, man, I believe that your life will do exactly what Jesus says here. It will persevere and produce a crop. You will see a harvest. Matter of fact, earlier, notice what he says in verse 8. He says that it will yield a crop, check this out, 100 times more than was sown. Do you want to see 100 times more than was sown happen in your life? If you want to see that happen in your life, it starts with your heart. It starts with your heart. A heart that receives God's word by faith and a heart that responds to God's word with obedience. I believe that God has a harvest for each and every one of us in this room today. And I believe that God wants to do it. And I believe that you're on the brink of seeing it happen. And the only thing that's getting in the way of it happening is your heart. But I believe that today, the one who is able to transform hearts, the one who is able to take the dark heart and make it alive, the one who is able to take a dead heart and make it alive in Christ Jesus, I believe that today that can change for you. That if your heart gets transformed, that if your heart gets touched by the blood of Christ, that is when you will begin to see a harvest take place in your life. And it can happen for you right now. It can happen for you today. And maybe for some of us in here, God has already been speaking to you about this. I think that shows the genius and the sovereignty and the providential nature of who God is. That before you came through these doors today, he was already speaking this to your heart. And the question is, will you receive it and respond to it today? Will you receive it and respond to it today? My desire for our church, here's my desire, as I mentioned earlier, is that we receive God's word. But even more beyond that, my desire is that as a church, we will crave God's word. Crave it. Jesus says in Matthew 5, we talked about it earlier this year, those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, they will be filled. I pray that we will be a church and be people who every day say, I'm not doing nothing until I hear and read God's word. That we would be a people that hear God's word and read God's word, but do God's word. That's my prayer and hope for us as a church. That's it. That on Sunday mornings, even when we come here to service, it's not, oh, here we go, another sermon. No, it's like, no, Lord, I need you to speak to me. I'm hungry for you. And if I don't get satisfied by you, I won't be able to make it through the rest of my week. I need a word from you. That's the type of church that I'm praying that we will become. That we are people who hunger and thirst for the word of God. That every day we seek out God's word. That we come in here excited to God's word. To hear it. That on Sunday morning, you're so entranced in worship. You're loving worship. And you're like, man, but I need me some word right now. I need to hear what God has to say. That throughout the course of the week, you're sharing what you've read in your scriptures with other people. That you're not just posting it on social media, but that you're talking to other people about it in the church. You're in small groups. You're reading God's word. You're hearing God's word. That we would be a people who hunger for God's word. I pray that we would be that type of heart, because here's what's going to happen, y'all. If we exhibit this as a church, you remember what Jesus said? You'll see a harvest 100 times more than was sown. And you know what that'll translate into? Marriages being restored. Families being healed. Wounds of hurt being healed. Oh, it'll happen where seats are getting filled like crazy. But it won't be because of popping circumstance. It won't be because, like, the preacher is good or the worship team sounds good or because we got a kids ministry. All those things are true. It'll be because of the word of God. That'll be what it is. It'll all be shaped around the word of God. And my hope and prayer and my question for us today is, church, can we be a people who are ready to grow in the word of God? Can we be a people who are ready to receive God's word? Where we take everything that we do around God's word seriously. We don't take ourselves seriously, so we laugh, we joke, we serve with gladness, we read with gladness. But we realize that this is the lifeline, and I need more of this in my life. every day. Every day, I want us to get a new rhythm and a new pattern, just like I'm given a pattern and a rhythm right now. Every day. You hear how it sounds like a heartbeat? I want this to be the heartbeat of our life. Every day. Every day. I'm not going to work until I read the word, because if I don't, it's going to be ugly. I'm not fixing my kids' breakfast until I read the word, because you know what? I may poison them because they've been on my nerves all week. I'm just joking. Don't take it seriously. I'm not doing anything throughout the course of this week. I'm not spending another dollar until I get in God's word and see how he wants me to spend my money. I'm going to be more generous with my time and my resources. This is the heartbeat of my life. It's not just something that I use as a book stand. It's not just something that I use to dust off. It's not just something that I use to prop up in certain areas of my life. No, this is the heartbeat of my life. That's what I want for us. Now, the people who listen to this message, they're going to hate that right there, this sound that I just made. But I hope you've got it. That this will be the heartbeat. That our hearts will be good ground. And I believe that all of you in here today, you came here because you want to grow. And I've just given you Jesus' rhythm and Jesus' method to our growth. Make sure our hearts are right. Because when our hearts are right, we'll receive God's word by faith. We'll respond to God's word with obedience. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, the worship team, you guys can come on up. My question for us today is this. How's your heart? How is it? All of us in here, we fall into two categories. We either reject God's word, thereby stunting our growth, or we receive God's word and respond to God's word with obedience, thereby leading to our growth. So you're here today, and this is you. Some of you in here, you're not a follower of Christ. You're not a Christian. You're not a believer yet. God's calling you. Today he's saying, would you open up your heart for me? He's been softening up your heart through the miracles he's done in your life. He spared you from this. He spared you from that. And today he's saying, would you come to me? Would you let me in? I knock. I'm not going to bogar. I'm just going to knock on the door of your heart. Will you let me in? And for those of us who are believers today, he's saying the same thing. I'm not going to bogar. I'm just knocking on the door of your heart. Would you be more generous? Would you serve more? Would you love more? Would you be more compassionate? Would you be more patient? Would you lead that small group for a change? Would you go through Growth Track? Would you join the church? Would you do these things? Would you be sensitive? That's what he's calling us to.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's preparing your heart.
Just as I am.
And you and I have a choice today. We can either be the hardened heart, the shallow heart, the crowded heart, or the fertile and fruitful heart, the good heart, the heart that's ready to receive what God has. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, this is me, I need to give my life to Christ this morning. Jesus has been knocking on the door of my heart for a long time, and today I need to respond to it by faith. I need to receive it by faith. I need to receive Jesus into my life. I want to be a part of the family of God. I've been putting it off for so long. By God's grace, I've been making it every day, but I know I can't make it anymore without him. I need him. I want to be in a relationship with God. If this is you this morning, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins on the cross. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I can have new life. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for new life. Live in my heart through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I'm going to ask us to do in this moment. I want us all to stand to our feet. I know we're a little bit past time, but I don't want to rush this moment. And we're going to sing one last time. How today we come to Jesus, we bring him our heart.